Testing one. Yeah, it's working on my side. But my study tonight is I'm continuing on in Ephesians 6. I just finished up Ephesians 5 last time. And Ephesians 6 goes into the duties of children obeying parents and of parents not provoking children to anger and so on. And I'll read 6:1 through 6:9. I might get that far, not sure. In 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that, or forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master's also in heaven, is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, or just, according to the CB. The apostle, having explained the duties of wives and husbands in the previous chapter, to the duties of children and parents, verses 1 through 4, then to those of servants and masters, verses 5 to 9, and with there he finishes with his account of relative duties, where it says, children, obey. The Greek form for that is hupakuo. It's a stronger expression as to wives, where it says submitting or being subject to in Ephesians 5:22, where it says wives submit, that would be hupostasso, yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Obedience is more steadfast or unreasoning and implicit. Submission is the willing subjection of an inferior in point of order to one who is a right to command. Hupakuo is a simple verb meaning to hear. The prefix preposition under, a compound verb meaning to hear under, that is to hear under authority. It speaks of the one hearing as being under the authority of someone else. Thus, the verb comes to mean to hearken to a command, to obey, to be obedient to, submit to. The verb is in the present imperative, which construction commands habitual, constant obedience, which is here. Obey your parents. Having read so much, this is the parents. Having read so much and heard so much and seen so much and suffered so much and done so much, being a parent myself, I can't even go through the lessons that I've learned in life, that I've learned from mistakes, from getting hurt, from losing financial gain, or such as that. Those are things that parents pass on to their children in hopes that they learn not to make the same mistakes. They're able to guide us as mentors, such as the elder of our group or our church, the body of Christ, our elders. We learn from them. They give us insight. When we talk with them, they give us insight. Cecil has given me so much insight I can't even start to mention the learning that I've got from him, from my mother-in-law, from Ronnie, who is not older than me, but he is my mentor. We learn from each other in that way. They can tell us how to avoid what is harmful and how to secure what is valuable. They can train us up in the way in which we should go. We learn all this from our parents, especially those parents that have Christ in their heart, who have the love of the Lord indwelled within them. My parents, as I was coming up, had the love of the Lord. Even though we hardly went to church unless it was a funeral or a wedding or special occasions, I hardly darted the churches as a child. And I'm kind of envious to my brethren who was raised in the church, and especially to those that was raised in the Word rightly divided. But that's neither here nor there. I'm thankful to the Lord for what I have. And I was raised up loving the Lord, even though I didn't understand Scripture the way that my brethren did. But thanks to Ron and everybody else, they're teaching me through right division the love that the Lord has, no matter what. And your parents and the Lord, both parents and children being Christians in the Lord, express the element in which the obedience is to take place and the motive of obedience. The phrase in the Lord is to be construed with obey. That is, it defines the quality of the obedience. By defining the sphere within which it is to move, a Christian obedience fulfilled in communion with Christ. So the children, being with their parents in the Lord, are to be influenced by religious duty as well as by natural affection. It says, for this is right, or just. The form there is dikaios. It's 1342, and it's equatable in character or act by implication, innocent, holy, absolutely or relatively, just, meet, right or righteous, or just. The Greek form, I found this kind of interesting when I was doing my study. The Greek form dikaios is used 81 times in the New Testament, which is divisible by, everybody knows, the number 9. In Appendix 10, 9 denotes finality of judgment. You wonder what judgment and righteousness, how do you combine the two? Well, it's 3 times 3 is 9, and it's the product of 989 of divine completeness. The number 9, or its factors or multiples, is seen in all cases when judgment is the subject. In the book of Numbers by Mr. Bullinger, there are 9 word forms used from the root DK, which is right or judgment. And I'm not going to go into all 9 of those word forms because that's a study entirely on its own. But I just thought it just amazed me how Numbers comes into play here. And the number 9, which is judgment, is totally associated with righteous. So if you are righteous, if you are doing right by God and God's word, you are being judged. You have been judged as being righteous. So the number 9 is very fitting with the word righteous. And as I get into this, it'll be more understanding how righteous fits into the wording of this very first sentence here. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Or righteous. 7 times the form dikaios is used in the prison epistles. And to get a feeling of the verse, let's look at the usage of this form. 7, the number 7, denotes, as I'm sure everybody I'm looking at, spiritual perfection. You understand that. It's the number or hallmark of the Holy Spirit's work. He is the author of God's Word. Dikaios, read in the critical lexicon, grab my critical lexicon real quick, is right or just, fulfilling all claims which are right and becoming. Just as it should be, a right state of which God is the standard, used of God and denotes the perfect agreement subsisting between His nature, which is the standard for all, and His acts. The 7 times it's used in the prison epistles, in Philippians 1:7, it says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, and that meet is dikaios, inasmuch as both in my bonds, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Ye all are partakers of my grace. This is the apostle. In Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, dikaios, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. In Colossians 4:1, masters, give unto your servants, that which is just, dikaios, or equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. 1 Timothy 1:9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a dikaios, righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, for profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers. In 2 Timothy 4:8, a very popular verse for every body member, who studies and works God's Word. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And we can all think of great men that have gone on before us, and women, that just recently with Jim, that we can put their name right in the slate and say that. In Titus 1:8, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. That is a body member. Two instances that in the Old Testament that I feel is fitting with the study in reading for this is right or just in Ephesians 6:1 and Hosea 14:9 says, who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. And ye and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. And another favorite of that I love and Mikey uses on a regular basis, Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, saith the Lord. In Ephesians 6:2-3, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, in order that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The first commandment to which God has annexed a promise, and therefore may learn in some measure how important the duty is in the sight of God, which is to honor thy father and the mother. Honor is timeo. To honor someone, therefore, is to evaluate that person accurately and honestly, and treat him with the deference, respect, reverence, kindness, courtesy, and obedience which his position in life or his character demands. Obedience is the duty. Honor is the disposition of which obedience is born. In Exodus 20:12, we'll notice that this is the Ten Commandments, but this is basically where Paul is getting his reference from. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that the day may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Pay attention to what it says. In Deuteronomy 5:16, it's the same verse. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that the days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Well, that don't sound quite exactly like what Paul says. While this of which the apostle speaks is the first commandment and only precept of the Decalogue, which is the Ten Commandments, has a particular promise added to it, particular to itself. If you notice, the apostle does not say, upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That he might not encourage a vain hope in the Jews of continuing in the land of Canaan, and also those whom he was writing were chiefly Gentile converts here in Ephesus. The clause would be very properly omitted in this view, as it must better suit the case of the whole church to express the promise in a general way. And concerning rebuke not, in 1 Timothy 5:1-4, says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger man as brethren. The elder woman as mothers, and the younger as sister with all purity, and here's the word, honor, Timaeo, widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Dort turned me on to a Wiest concordance, and I got it downloaded online. And his translation for 6:1-3 is, children, be always obedient to your parents in the Lord, for this is a righteous thing. Be always honoring your father and your mother, which is a commandment of such a nature as to be the first commandment with promise, in order that it may be well with you, and in order that you may be long lived upon the earth. If you pay attention to your parents and sometimes elders, in the same respect, you will learn the way to take care of yourself, your family, whether it's hunting, cooking, preparing things, building things, studying God's Word with a loving heart and not as a chore. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture with discipline and admonition of the Lord. Provoke here is paragizo from 38:44 and 37:10 to anger alongside, in rage, provoke to wrath, and provoke is, well, I got that, to rouse to wrath, to provoke, exasperate, anger. The parental duty is to give first negatively as avoidance of all calculated to irritate or exasperate the children. Injustice, severity, and the like. So as to make them indisposed to filial obedience and honor. Bring up is the ectrepho, to nourish, to maturity, to nurture, to bring up, to rear up. The word is not confined to the nourishing of a child physically, but includes its bringing up or rearing in a various departments of life. Be gentle. We're not to anger the child, because if you anger a child, they're not going to learn anything. They're just going to, if anything, they're not going to pay any attention. In the barbershop, I see many times, countless, where children are just not obedient, and sometimes the parents are over-disciplining, and other times they're under-disciplining. Just let the kids run free. Well, if you let a child run free, I'll get into a little later, but if you let a child go on his own accord, he's going to be nothing but trouble and in trouble. Ephesians 4:31, the apostle says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. That's not just to men or your fellow workers or whatever. That is to your children as well. He's telling the fathers to provoke not children also. But not just children. You just don't provoke anybody. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. He repeats it again in Colossians, which is written after Ephesians. As far as bringing up here, the two examples of being brought up here in 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remember the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Paul is talking to Timothy. That Timothy had an unfeigned faith, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul knew how Timothy was brought up. He was brought up with nourishment of a loving grandmother and mother in the Lord. In 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, he says so, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, talking to Timothy, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is one command that those of us that are members of the body of Christ use almost on a daily basis when it comes to speaking Scripture with someone that is a Christian in heart, but do not understand Scripture rightly divided. This Scripture is one that we use, that to explain to them that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. It might be for them in Ephesians, but it might be for their understanding or for their learning, the Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, is for their understanding of the Lord. The word nurture is paideia, education or training, by implication disciplinary correction, chastening, chastisement, or instruction or nurture. An admonition is nothesia, calling attention to, mild rebuke or warning, used 2 times in the prison epistles. The other time the admonition is used is in Titus. It's in 3:10, but I'm going to read 8 through 11. Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. In 9, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. 3:10, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. This is one thing I'm sorry, I don't pay attention to, because I've admonished several people at least 5 or 6 times, but I just keep hammering away. I figure sooner or later I might get through to them. But I'm sure the heretic that he's talking about here is not the type of person I deal with on a daily basis. If I was to be confronted by a true heretic that Paul is talking to Titus about here, I'm sure I wouldn't admonish him but one time, and I'm going to be gone. But in 11, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. I guess those that we admonish more than twice, I guess we have a love in our heart for them, and we do keep going back in the hopes that sooner or later they might understand Scripture rightly divided, or understand the wrong of their ways, whatever way it might be, whether it be speaking in tongues or not understanding the hell issue or the such. In Proverbs 19:18, talking about chastisement. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. This don't mean that we go beating our children, but this is to correct a child while there is hope. And he's going to cry. But moms, you have to understand that the child is going to cry. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I can feel that. I can see that. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I've had the rod of correction. When I was a child. Now, it might not be a rod that we understand today as a 2x4 or anything else, but my mom made me go out back and get a hickory. And if it wasn't right, she made me go get another one until I got the right one. And I felt the sharp end of it, and rightfully so. I deserved every one of them. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You can see this over and over again. When children left to themselves, if they run with the wrong crowd, I had this with my children at one point. They wanted to run with the wrong crowd, and I chastised them and did manage to get them away from it. But if you're not able to, that can lead to trouble, and it can bring your mother to shame. Some mothers could be ashamed to know their child. You can see it daily on the news. But if a child is reared in the Lord, if he's just spoken of the Lord on a regular basis with love and care, the foundation is going to be there for the child to come up and know and love the Lord. In 1 Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy how to act in the synagogue. So, Timothy apparently, at some point, was a little on the rebellious side too, because he says, "These things I write unto thee," in 1 Timothy 3:14, "hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar of the ground of truth." So Paul I don't know if Timothy was being bad at some point or not. I don't know. But Paul is sending him a little word of correction that he knows how he's supposed to behave in the church. The apostle Paul speaking on children being corrected in references to his people. In Hebrews 12, 5 to 11, I can see I'm probably just going to be able to get through this. Have you forgotten, Hebrews 12, 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. And this is not little boys or girls, this is huios. These are what we understand. We are huios. We are sons. We are adopted sons. So this children here is huios. Paul is speaking to them as adults, but being babes. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son who he receive it. Now this quote is from Proverbs 3:11-12. If you are in 7, if ye are suffering patiently for discipline, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son whom a father chasteneth? A father's going to chasten his son. But if ye without chastisement, wherefore are partakers? Wherefore all are partakers? That is, without chastisement. Then ye are bastards and not sons. Here the term bastards are neglected in their manners and education. The fathers of these having little affection and regard of these children. But all that are legitimate children or sons are partakers of chastisement or discipline. I'll read 8 again and go on into 9. But if ye be without chastisement, therefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Moreover, we had fathers of our flesh as correctors us. And we gave reference, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the fathers of spirits and live? For they are verily for a few days chastening us according as it seemed good to them, but he of our profit to the end, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now all chastening seem not for the present, this is an 11, now all chastening seemeth not for the present, seemeth to be of joy, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised by. This is the chastening in reference as to being corrected as a parent to a child. Is this the Lord's chastening physical to us? No. Not, I don't think so, but no. The Lord's chastening to us is the Holy Spirit correcting us in our heart. When we do something, I can't tell you how often I say I'm sorry, but it happens a lot. And sometimes I'm chastised by my wife and she's rightfully so to correct me. Sometimes it's by, at this time, my mother-in-law. Juanita's a beautiful lady, and she corrects me when I need correcting. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Means let your instruction and your training have the Lord's teaching, the Lord's warnings, the Lord's doctrines. For their means and the Lord Himself for their end. I'm going to end it with that because it ran a little long. But I thank you for your time. And before I go into prayer, we need to remember Miss Patty Ann, which is Dee's mom, Miss Jan, her family, and Bob for his recovery, for Ron with his recovery, for Chip and his traveling, and for Miss Lulu, his precious wife. For Cecil and Bobby Ann in their endeavors through Miss Bobby Ann's travails. With Barn and Kelly with their crud or their severe cold that they're having out in Arizona, and Miss Carol Dillman with her continued prayers. And those are just the ones that I can think of off the top of my head. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit and His guidance in this truth. Lord, I thank you so much for this truth, Lord, to understand this truth rightly divided. And Lord, I ask that you be with those names that were mentioned. And Lord, I know there are so many more. Lord, I ask that you search the hearts of these that are listening in. And you know their hearts, Lord. You know who needs either a healing touch or a comforting touch. But Lord, those of us that know the Lord, that know your word, that know your truth, know that when we are weak, it's when we're strong in you, Lord, because we know that you are our rock. You're our salvation and you are our strength. And we rest in that, Lord. And in all these things I ask in Christ's name, amen. Thank you, guys. And I'll release the mic. We just got through the 4, and I'm going to 5, 6, I can extend. Bob, would you give us an update on yourself? I know you probably don't like to talk about it, but I haven't heard anything from you in a while. How is your healing taking place there, brother? Thanks, Mel. Jim, Jan, I'm sorry, I'm used to seeing Jim and Jan on there. Jan, thank you. I appreciate it. Every time I get to delivering a message to the Lord, I know the Lord's with me. Sometimes I get a little too emotional. I thank the Lord that I was able to do it today and do it clearly. And thank you guys for your kudos. I appreciate it. And it tell you what, it is it's a learning experience to be. I still have a problem calling myself a teacher because I tell you, I love this word, and Those that need the teaching are the ones that I deal with on a daily basis. That's when I feel that I'm a teacher, speaking to those who don't know the truth rightly divided. But when I look on this list of people in front of me, I can learn from each and every single one of y'all. And I'm just delivering what I understand and let the Lord take over from there. But thank you guys. Talk at you later. Yeah, yes. Good
stuff. Hey, wonderful job, Tony. Man, I sit here listening to you, and I don't know why you get so nervous.